his arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise.
Here. And good morning and welcome to Wednesday Live. It is 11:01. And we have some drippy skies here in Martin County. I don't know about you all down south, but it looked to me like it might be something going on around the state of Florida. Quite a bit of water, a lot of rain we're looking at, some strong winds, and of course we have friends that are on the other side of the coast, and there could be flooding according to the reports up and down the coast. And so we are going to have a time of prayer for that a little later this morning. At this time, we want to just welcome all of you. This is Wednesday Live. We come to you every Wednesday at 11 a.m. right up till 12 with news and views and things of kingdom interest. And we do have some very important events that are getting ready to happen here in the Treasure Coast of Florida. And we want to make sure that you put them on your calendar early and you plan to be a part of what God is up to. And it is some exciting stuff. Let me just make mention, if you check in with your counties, you might be down in Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County, Martin, St. Lucie, or Indian River County, over in Okeechobee County. We reach into 10 counties, so I'm not sure what county you're in. But you should check in and make sure what kind of requirements, cautions, and warnings there are in your county. And since we are in Martin County, as far as our location of broadcast, would like to just remind you that there are many closures that are in place. There is a state of emergency that's been declared in our state, as you know. Most county offices are closed, and of course that includes parks, beaches, and programs will not be taking place today. Schools are closed, constitutional offices, the tax collector, property appraiser, and such forth and so on. And keep in mind, if you have a boat and you're hoping to get through one of the bridges, that the bridges very possibly are going to be in lockdown position as this storm comes through. And so if you are hopeful to get out of an inside area, your time is quickly running out. And so you need to monitor those things. I suppose those of you who are involved in boating are aware of that. Marty is not providing service on Wednesday. That is today. And so if you've been normally riding with Marty and you're not getting through to anyone, that's why. And of course, garbage, recycling, and waste, that is also going to get bumped out. That's not going to be taking place today or tomorrow. But pickup, if it's on a Thursday, it gets pushed off till Friday, etc. As you know, in Martin County, that's the way they do things. As residents, you can call a community information center. And this is for Martin County Community Information Center. Get your pen ready. Jot this down. 772. Of course, that's our local area code. 772-287-1652. to have the storm-related questions answered between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So that will give you a little information. Of course, you know, there are a lot of other aspects of preparing for this storm that you can gather information on the web. And if you're in some of the other counties and you have information that's important to get out to your county and you would like to notify us here at WCNO, you can reach us at 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And we will be looking forward to getting the information out. As you know, we are an emergency station, and that simply means when you're listening to WCNO, if there are tornadoes, if there are storm warnings, if the governor has reports and such forth to give, you will see the normal programming interrupted so that that pertinent safety information and report can get out there. And I know a lot of you were in areas where there were tornado warnings yesterday afternoon, and you can listen to your good news station and be assured that if there is an emergency, you will get that notice. In fact, there are many stations that receive their notice. It comes through us to them. And so please keep that in mind and keep your dial set right here on 89.9. Now, I have Stuart Fakita with me in the studio, and we are going to be talking with him about an event that is coming up. It's going to be here before we know it, Stuart.
It is. Coming fast.
Coming fast. So why don't you just tell about the event, then I'm going to cover a couple more things, and we're going to get back and talk a little bit about your God story and why you're doing what you're doing today.
Amen. Miracle on the Water will be coming November 12th through the 18th. It'll be out at 601 Seaway Drive, Fort Pierce, Florida. Miracle on the Water is going to be a gathering of pastors, churches. As of right now, we have 44 churches involved of all denominations. You know, we'll have prayer, praise, preaching. We'll have facilities on site, food trucks, etc. But most importantly, come on out to get your spirit fed, because God is going to show up, I promise you.
Amen.
God is definitely going to show up, and we know that the promise is where two or three are gathered in his name, that he is there.
Amen.
And you know what? If two or three are not gathered, he's still there.
Amen to that. Boy, and I'm glad for that. Let me tell you, I find myself lonely at times.
Yeah. Yes, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God's not going to pass away.
Praise God.
And he did say, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
Which I like that.
Praise
and so,
God.
And you know, he's the same. He's not changing. So he is going to stick with us regardless of what we're facing. So that's all good news. Karen, do you have something that came in through the mail or something that we need to share?
Yes, we have Martin County information release. There's a vacancy on the board for the Construction Industry Licensing Board.
This is a volunteer position, right?
Correct.
So for anyone in the body of Christ that's saying, I sure wish I could do something.
Right. It says individuals serve without compensation. And there's three vacant positions. General building or residential contractors, heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, and a consumer representative. Consumer representative who is not and has never been a member or practitioner of any profession regulated by the Construction Industry Board. And then they're going to be advisors to the Board of County Commissioners. So again, those three positions available for the Construction Industry Licensing Board. And there's some other requirements that you'll have to meet. But you can call 772-288-5756.
Great opportunity to get involved in your county and build relationships with others who are influencing the direction of the county. And sometimes I hear people saying, well, I just don't like what's going on. Right, do something about it. Mm-hmm. Get up and be a part. Get involved. And don't think for a minute that there are not opportunities. There are tons of opportunities. Dave, what do you have?
Well, it's another info release from Martin County. It has to do with the Drug and Alcohol Abuse Awareness Committee. There's a vacancy for a youth member.
A what?
A youth member.
youth member.
A young person.
Really?
I'm assuming a teenager or a young adult.
Okay.
And if you're interested in this, this the committee advises the Martin County Board of County Commissioners on issues relating to adult and youth substance and alcohol abuse in Martin County.
Wow.
The committee makes excuse me, recommendations on programs and services that impact the community. If you are interested in sitting on this board, you can contact Donna Gordon. Probably not today, but her number is 772-288-5756, or you can email her at dgordon@martin.fl.us.
Awesome. So that's an opportunity for a young person, and I don't want this to sound sound inappropriate, but I believe as Christians we should be leading our communities by participation, involvement, and service. And I mean, whether it's a cleanup day at the beach or whether it's you know, an opportunity to serve on one of these committees, this is a great opportunity to let the love, the light, and the witness of Jesus Christ be seen in your life. And of course, you know, there's a lot of talent. And seeing you here, Stuart, today, there's so much talent in the body of Christ. And a lot of times it is just not released. And so I trust that if you are listening today, that you will get involved. And if you are in St. Lucie or down south, one of the counties, Indian River, and you would like your county information to be a part of our cycle of news on Wednesday Live, then get a hold of us, WCNO at WCNO.com, and you can just send that attention, Jonathan McLean. I'd be happy to look at that. And we reach a very large portion of the state of Florida. Amen. So it's a great opportunity to get the message out. All right, Stuart, we're going to go right to your story, and we're going to kind of split it probably into two pieces. But I was talking with you the other day, and then this morning you mentioned something that just kind of reminded me that, you know, you've been through some stuff in your life.
Amen. God has delivered. There's no doubt about it.
So, you know, I'd like to just hear a bit of a thumbnail of your God story. I mean, how did you end up in a Christian radio station?
Well, this is only the second time I'm on the radio.
Okay, good.
As you know, last week I told you, so praise God.
Stuart Fakita, what is your business?
Nature's Keeper.
Nature's Keeper.
Fort Pierce, Florida.
Welcome.
I'm a pastor with Plant a Seed Ministry. As we're talking about substance abuse, which is what we key on up there, especially helping men get their lives together, because addiction is the core of community issues at the end of the day. Most people don't realize that, you know, it's where your prostitution comes from. It's where your theft comes from. It's where your physical abuse comes from. It's where, you know, rape is centered around it. And I'll tell you, I saw a statistic, it was over a year ago, that 84% of people that are locked up have some type of addiction problem.
84%.
So that means to tell me that...
So why are you doing this? How do you connect with that side of great need in our society?
I will tell you, I got sober 17 and a half years ago, March of 2005. I spent a large portion of my life up to that point, approximately 22 years, drinking, drugging, smoking crack, snorting cocaine, rob, cheat, steal. I mean, I was the epitome of probably the worst of the worst. I went to St. Lucie County Jail in 2005. Mm. And up to that point, my story really stems way back to 1985 when I lost a very good friend, or actually 1980, I'm sorry. And I was 10 years old, give you an idea.
Mm.
And I had a pain in the pit of my gut that I couldn't get rid of. And my mother tried hard. 1980, not a lot of programs, not a lot of things.
Right.
Just kind of had to be tough back then, I guess, was the situation. And within 2 years, to get rid of the pain in the pit of my gut, I picked up alcohol. Ironically, on the church steps of Holy Trinity Church in upstate New York on Lincoln Ave. Wow. At a church festival when a friend of mine encouraged me to help get rid of the pain that he felt. He had already experimented, and I was almost 13, but 12 years old, experimenting with my first drink and realized that got rid of the pain in the pit of my gut.
Wow.
By the time I was 13, I was smoking pot. By the time I was 14, I had found my new greatest grandiose, my marriage partner, which was cocaine. And once I experimented with cocaine, my life changed for the worse, of course, like it never had before. But I'm kind of skipping over some things here. But you fast forward up to 1989, and by the time 1989 rolled around, I had buried approximately six close friends that were sleeping on my couch at one time or another, whether it was suicide, whether it was drinking and driving accidents, or getting shot and drug deal gone bad.
Wow.
1989, it was my graduation year of high school. And I did graduate because I used high school for a catalyst to deal drugs at that time. And I realized the guys that dropped out were always getting arrested. I figured if I stayed, I'd get around it. You know what I'm saying? but in 1989, my son was born, my son Corey. And by the time we got to February of February 9th of 1989, actually, he was born in 1988, but he went to be with Jesus in 1989. Mm. And I got to tell you, and I'm going to be very honest right now, and I know that everybody would like that, but I was heavily involved in using drugs. I had a lot of self-righteousness, a lot of pride, a lot of things going wrong. And this very little secret that I'm about to share was the one thing that almost sent me back into relapse back in 2006.
Mm.
But finally I got that out, and I'll get to that part in just a little bit. But the very secret I had was that the day that my son went to be with Jesus, I had a party. I was happy about it. And everybody stands here and says, whoa, that is the kind of scumbag that I was. I didn't have to be a father. I didn't have to pay child support. I didn't have to be responsible anymore. And I didn't never share that with nobody, because I didn't have to. And I felt you know what? That's just between me and God at the end of the day.
Yeah. Mm.
But when we try to hang on to our junk, our garbage, our that we go through with addiction and life at that, we have got to go to the foot of the cross, lay it
there
down. As it says in James 5, we got to confess to another human being our sins, man. And if we don't, it will rot you from the inside out. So going forward, I went on to get with my what would turn out to be my ex-wife, but we got together and had my oldest daughter, who I love and adore, Sierra. She's listening right now. I love you, baby. I realized the lifestyle that I was living, because I was doing a lot of things wrong while I was living in upstate New York to make a living. I was working for some very, very how do we want to say this, criminal organizations. I'll leave it at that. Okay. I was just trying to pay the rent. It wasn't about getting rich. It was just trying to get by. And I was only doing what I knew and knew best.
Yeah.
And I decided I needed to make a change in my life. And so I come to Florida, 1993, August of 1993. I came to Florida, coming to Florida with my family, deciding I'm making a change. And what I didn't realize when I came to Florida, I brought Stuart to Florida, but I also brought my problems. Changing my environment didn't change my heart.
Yeah.
And I know that in recovery, they tell you, you know, you go back to the same places, expect the same things. I figured I'd make a change by moving to Florida. By 1999, let me back up. It took me two years in Florida before I eventually found cocaine again.
Mm.
I did refrain from cocaine. I was only drinking a 12-pack a day and smoking an ounce of pot a week, but I was considered myself sober. Mm. I didn't need any help from anybody, but I didn't snort cocaine, so I was good. You know, I had it all figured out. But as we all know, that eventually you'll go back to your drug of choice, especially when you go back to alcohol and you think, well, I'm away from the drug that destroyed me, I can just have a drink. Or you can't, folks, you can't. It does not work. You've got to refrain from it all. So anyways, 1999, my baby girl was born, Santia. And love of my life, of course. And by the time 2004 rolled around, my ex-wife didn't like cocaine very much, and because I was hiding it all this time.
Mm.
Well, I got caught one day, and it was a Sunday. And the long story short is that I walked out of my family's life that Sunday. And, you know, my sick mindset still resided. I had a few dollars put in the bank. I had a home. And I said, you know what? I've done my part as the father. I got money. I thought it was all about finances. I left her with some money and said, you know what? This is over with. I'm done. And I jumped on my motorcycle and I left the house. And I left the house to find another girlfriend. Mm-hmm. As I found that girlfriend, we partied hard for 9 months. And her name was Nikki. By the time we rolled around the January of 2005, January the 5th, I got into a fight right here on Canner Highway, Cracker Barrel parking lot.
Mm.
Got into a fight with her brother, very, very violent fight, but I had a lot of blood, teeth loss, so on and so forth going back. He was pretty upset at what had just happened, and he unloaded his gun on me, how I didn't get hit. Praise God, I didn't. But then he proceeded to get in his pickup truck and drive over the bushes and run me over. Yes, he hit me with his pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And at that, up to that time, I had actually had six screws put in my back just 9 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
So to say the least, as of right now, I've got a busted screw and a bent rod in my back. Praise God, I can walk. Doctors tell me it's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll take that
God.
And run with
yep.
it.
And,
yeah.
But 9 days later, I was starting to jones for cocaine, and I was so entrenched in drugs at that time in my life that I wouldn't even go in the ambulance that day.
Mm.
I knew if I did, I had to go to the hospital for probably 8-10 hours, and I knew I had cocaine back in my condo up in Port St. Lucie, and they called it a cookie, if you will, and somebody's laughing out there right now. They know what that is. And it's an ounce of crack cocaine is what it is. And I didn't even, my legs were blown up like balloons. I could barely walk. My truck was wrecked because he hit my truck after he hit me trying to get out of the parking lot. Yes, the helicopters came, the dogs came, the cops from every corner came. Unfortunately, you know, they chased him down 95 and got him arrested. And, you know, I hope he's doing well today. I pray for him every day, to be honest with you. I don't know where he is, but I don't want to give his name. But Nikki takes me back to my condo. We get high for 9 days, basically, and I'm running out of dope. And I decided I got to go to the hospital. Because if I go to the hospital, I can get some pain pills and trade them for crack cocaine. This is just dope fiend thinking. Mm. On the way, she says to me, have you ever seen a dead body? And I told her yes, and I had, because a friend of mine had been hit by an Amtrak train in 1991 in upstate New York. His name was Mike Williams. Mm. That was pretty much a mess, but she drops me off at the Port St. Lucie Hospital, and I was blowing a hit of crack cocaine out of my mouth walking through the sliding glass doors. This is how messed up I was. So Nikki walks in with me. We sit down in the ER, and eventually they take me in. This is about 11 o'clock at night on January the 13th, and they take me in. They do some x-rays. They do x-rays once, they do x-rays twice, and then by the third time, I am being a complete not nice person to the staff in the hospital. Vulgar language, pushing things around, just acting like a complete maniac, if you will.
Yeah.
Eventually, the doctor comes over to me, and he says, the reason I'm doing these x-rays is I'm trying to figure out how you can walk after you got hit by a vehicle. And he wanted to quantify the police report, which he did. He says, because you shouldn't be walking. And he says, I don't know why God waste a miracle on a guy like you because of my actions. Mm. Obviously, the doctor was a Christian faith.
Sure.
And he says, I'm scratching my head. I believe that was the first time God spoke to me through somebody, and I actually recognized that. I thought to myself, boy, I got to get help. I realized that day that I am a drug addict. After 22 years of using, I finally came to the place that I realized I was not doing well for myself. Upon leaving the hospital, I did get a script for Percocet, by the way. But upon leaving Port St. Lucie Hospital, I go out and I look for Nikki. She's not there. I go to the young lady who was at the counter in the waiting room, and she said, oh, no, she left here about an hour, hour and a half after you went back crying her eyes out. She said she was terribly distraught. Oh, my goodness. So I try to call her. She had my cell phone, and she also had my car. And what actually happened was I walked across the street to CVS. Took me an hour to get across the street, CVS right across Port St. Lucie Hospital, because I could barely walk. But I needed that drug. I was really, really wanting to get high really bad. I was jonesing is the terminology that we use today. And I finally make it over to CVS. I go into the pharmacist. I give him the script for the Percocet. And I go and I find a seat to sit down because I was barely, I'm ready to fall over. Then they call my name up. But at that time, they only had a little window in the pharmacy. Yeah. It was just like a little, you know, like a bank teller window. And I realized that day why they do that, because they call me up and I go back there after about 30 minutes and they say, Mr. Fakita, we ran out of these yesterday, and I wanted to reach through that window and choke that pharmacist. When I tell you, I almost went through the window. I mean, I dropped my cane because I had a cane from the hospital. I about went through the window. I'm calling the police, he says. I said, don't worry about it. I'm calling a cab. I'm leaving. So I did call a cab. I go home back to my condo that I had in the PGA Village at that time. As I pulled in there, I realized that my house was all locked up, which had significance. Well, most people who smoke crack know that I was not one of those guys, we call them tweakers. I didn't worry about them being out there. They'll be looking under the windows and the bushes. They're out there, you know, thinking somebody's coming after them. It's the paranoia, schizophrenia that gets built up to you when you're using. And I never locked my house because I wouldn't even spend $3 for a key, because that $3 had to go to the cause. I hadn't paid my rent in 8 months, and my landlord was scared to death of me, so he wouldn't even come near me. It was an amazing, wild thing. And I had nothing in my house of value because I'd sold everything for dope up to that point. I had zero. Well, I went to my my neighbor, borrowed a butter knife to go break into the sliding glass door in the backside. I go to go in there, and the unique thing about going in there was that I realized right away it was strange. The bed was made. The floor was vacuumed. The dishes were done. What's the significance of that? Mm-hmm. For those of you that don't know about drug addiction, we had not made the bed in 8 months. We had not even washed our linens in 8 months. We hadn't done dishes. We wouldn't spend money on soap. I would go to Burger King and take the toilet paper out to bring it home. You are living in conditions that the only thing you're living for is to feed that monster that Satan has born into your body when you submitted to it. So I see the house is clean, which is like, wow, what is going on here? I said, Nikki, what are you doing? Where are you at? I turn the corner, and it looks like she's passed out in the closet. She had taken the stereo cord and wrapped it around her neck and hung herself in my condo. My. I took her body down, closed her beautiful blue eyes, and cried out to God like I never had before. I think I cried out to God for the very first time with a heartfelt, it's got to be. And my friend, God called 911. Let's just say that.
Praise God.
They came. They handcuffed me. They charged me with murder temporarily. Handcuffed me to the railing to the second floor. Then when the CSI came, they went back. And the pharmacist was like angry because they put him in the car and brought him over there. That's the guy. That they didn't realize why they were asking.
Yeah.
He didn't realize. And, you know, but So my alibi, because when the coroner's office came, they sent somebody over there, and they realized she had passed by at least 4 hours at that point, a minimum, just, you know, body conditions, et cetera. So then they unhandcuffed me at that point, knowing fully well that the alibi was real between the hospital and the pharmacy. Well, at that point, 5 hours after the CSI clears my condo, this is how sick and how bad drug addiction is. I was back up in the Fort Pierce on Avenue M buying more crack cocaine.
Wow.
Mm. This time it was different, though. I took the hit. I pulled out into 25th Street. It was before it was four-laned, as we know it now. And I looked myself in the mirror, and I broke the windshield. I broke the mirror. I was trying to hit myself, basically. Things got really hard. Things got really hard. I was going through money like water, because for the next 40 days, it was 41 days, I was going through this vicious cycle because I didn't want to get high anymore. And I now know that that was God's ordination at my plea out for him. But he did call 911, because eventually I did go pull off some crimes, 8 felonies, 3 misdemeanors, facing 47 years in prison at that. And God took me to a place of salvation, which was the greatest church. Praise the greatest God. Church, in my opinion,
in the prison.
Is located at 900 Rock Road. Okay?
For you.
Listen, yeah, yeah. They feed you. They clothe you. You know,
they do all that stuff.
They do all that stuff for you. Wow. I call it the big gated church down on Rock Road.
Yeah.
And it's there that I met one of my greatest friends, Pastor Al Pagosi with Plant a Seed Ministry, where now I am associate pastor.
Yeah.
And I can't even begin to tell you the change that came in May of 2005. I walked into that chapel after I fought going to the chapel for almost from May, March 28th, when I actually went to jail. It was mid-May. I don't know the exact date. I don't remember. That's not important. It was about that time. And somebody cohorts me into going to chapel. I finally said, okay, I'll go stretch my legs, get out of the birdcage for a while, and let me go down there and see what's going on. I didn't need any of this Jesus stuff. I didn't need any of this God stuff. I'm not going to be one of those freaky guys. Hi, my name is Stuart, and I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah.
I love those people today, by the way. But anyways, I wasn't going to be one of those guys. I walked into that chapel, and that's when God said, I heard you, my son. Mm-hmm. Pastor Al and my other friend, Bobby, who is in charge of AA, two of my best friends today. I love them both to the bone, believe me when I tell you. And they gave a little short testimony before they put praise and worship on. And I saw myself in both of these guys. And I knew that they were very for real.
Yeah.
Something was happening. You know, you talk about discernment. There was a gift beginning to happen right then. I didn't realize it at the moment. But they started to play the song, Open the Eyes to My Heart, Lord. And I started to cry. Now, you want to know what's the significance of crying in jail? I had a full-down throwdown with the guy sitting 2 chairs from me over a cup of coffee just 12 hours prior to going there, okay? I mean, I didn't want to show a sign of weakness, because that's not what you did. At that time in St. Lucie County Jail, it was referred to as gladiator school. Mm. You didn't make a day without having a fight, to be honest with you. And whether it was significant or not, it was a very, very rough place to be at that time. I started to cry. I cried uncontrollably. My blues were so wet that it had dripped down to look like I actually urinated in my pants. And at the end of the night, they did an altar call. And I felt like a magnet, like pulling me.
Yeah.
And I walked up to that altar, and I was the only one. I didn't see anybody else in that room. I didn't hear anybody else in that room. I went up there and I knelt down before that cross, and these guys laid hands on me and they prayed over me.
Amen.
And at that moment, I confessed with my mouth. It wasn't as important in my mouth as it was in my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, God, I was trying to take my life for the last 3 months with a 45 and a piece of mulch and a pencil stuck in the trigger, hoping I would hit that thing after a three-day bender to blow my head off, because I didn't have the guts to kill myself. I had it in my mouth in the mirror many a times, but I just couldn't do it. I was threading the sheets in the jail to throw myself over the bars. God gave me an angel that actually sat on me 2 days prior to me going in that chapel. This guy was a big man, 400 plus pounds. His name was Jerry. Jerry, if you're out there and you hear me, never saw the man again. He got transferred the day that I went to chapel. And he says, I'm praying to God for you like you don't know. And he was going to Indian River County. But here nor there, my life from that day forward has never, but never been the same.
Right there, we're gonna transition. Hang on. Stuart Fakita is with us. And Stuart, do give us the information on Miracle in the Water coming up again. And then I'm going to get a hold of John Nelson. I don't know if you know John Nelson, but he's one of our team here. So
Miracle on the Water, we'll be celebrating prayer, praise, and preaching November 12th through the 18th. It'll be one of the greatest revivals that has ever struck the Treasure Coast. And if you feel that God's pressing on your heart to make a donation, you can go to miracleonthewater.org. That's miracleonthewater.org. This will be a, we are still trying to raise funds to make ends meet. We know that God is going to make something happen there. And so if God's putting it on your heart, miracleonthewater.org, you can press the donate button, and we look forward to seeing you there. God bless.
All right, let's see if we can get John Nelson online. So glad you tuned in to Wednesday Live, WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It is right now 11:36, and we continue with Wednesday Live, and we're hopeful to catch up with our friend John. He may not be in a place where he can take the call at the moment, and so if that's the case, we will move along. And so
please leave your message for.
There we go.
All right. Well, we can't. We won't leave a message.
We won't leave a message, but John may call us back.
He might call.
Well, we have Ma and Pa here this morning. We're kind of getting short of time. We have a call that's going to go down to Tim Popatic, who is working with Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Great event's going to be coming up down in Palm Beach County. You know, these days the body of Christ is receiving some necessary grace for regeneration of its life in worship, discipleship, and evangelism. The coming revival demands that. However, Paul is still struggling with the seemingly great differences among the Christian denominations, and he is going to need Ma's help to shift his focus. He's about to get that help right now.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Yeah, maybe a couple. Cecilia Rampleford's coming up to pick me up. We're going to go shopping at the mall.
The mall? Listen, while you're there, could you look into something for me?
Sure. You know, one of them stores might have a sale on overalls. All yours are pretty near worn out.
Ma, when a man's clothes are like that, I mean, when they're broken in for comfort, I don't know why you ladies haven't picked up on that.
But, Pa, you got holes in the knees, stains that won't come out, and buttons that are missing.
And that's just the way I like them. I only wear them around the farm anyway. Hey, listen, I haven't heard any of our animals complain yet.
Yep, you're just like every other man, Pa. Stubborn. So what do you want me to do for you at the mall?
Well, I heard some feller's got himself a church there in the mall. I'm kind of curious as to what it's all about.
Well, what do you mean? It's a church. What is there to know?
Well, Ma, these days, when a church pops up, it's important for the Christian folk already in the area to know what they're all about. I mean, you know, there's over 15,000 Christian denominations in the world. And I guess most of them are doing what the Lord wants them to do, but there are some I'm not too sure about.
Now, Paul, we've done a lot of talking and praying about what we know is God's will concerning bringing His church into unity. We know it's going to be an enormous work, but it's God doing it, so we don't need to worry about it.
I know, Ma. But even while God is pouring out His grace to unify the body of Christ worldwide, ain't we supposed to be watchful for churches that ain't doing God's work? You and I both know, while there are some of them denominations out there what have got some really wonky beliefs.
All right, Pa. Define wonky.
Well, you know, they don't do things like regular church folks do.
Well, that still ain't making your point clear, Pa.
Okay, here's some concerns. Some of them churches don't do music like we do. You know, we got all them nice, memorable hymns our organist plays every Sunday. They're sacred and majestic. But some churches play this Christian rock stuff with everyone hooting and hollering. And there's the folks what don't have any music at all. And it's just a vocal free-for-all. And what about the Lord's Supper? You got folk having that every Sunday. And then there's churches what only do it when they have a mind to. And then some use real wine and others grape juice. And if all them inconsistencies ain't bad enough, you got churches that got their preachers at the pulpit apologizing for God's plan of salvation, while others have their folks sizzling in the furnace of their abject sinfulness.
Pa, I understand completely where you're coming from. But you know, you're picking out the extreme behaviors. And frankly, you really don't know anything about those churches mentioned in your complaints.
What do you mean, I don't know anything?
Well, have you visited any of those churches to actually experience their worship? Have you met with the members of those churches to ask them about their beliefs and practices? Have you even spent any time reading up about what those churches believe?
Well, you know...
Yeah, all you got is your imagination, what those other folks have told you. And them folks haven't actually done any research either.
Well, Buddy Postolano did visit a church when he was driving through North Carolina one summer. He said he was attracted to the building, reminded him of his home church. But when the service started, the pastor and his team started throwing snakes around. And then some fellow came out of the back room and he had a gator on a leash. Old Buddy said he took off as fast as he could, looking over his shoulder in case that gator was running after him.
Listen, Pa, old Buddy might have had that experience, but you can't apply that to every church that you ain't visited or studied up on.
But here's the thing, Ma. Right now in this world, and especially here in America, there is a spiritual war being fought for the soul of our country. We're divided, and we know that that split has been engineered by none other than the devil. Revival's on the way, that's for sure, as the Lord has given us that truth. What's also true is that his church ain't anywhere near ready to engage with them souls who are coming hungry for Jesus.
Well, I ain't arguing with you about that. You're right. But at the same time, nobody should be judging other denominations and the folks in those churches. Because if they do, they're playing right into the devil's hands by keeping things divided.
All right, then. What do you suggest we do? I mean, should we let some folks just keep on with their errant doctrines, their loosey-goosey worship, their questionable practices, and what's worse, them folks who believe that there's no sin and everybody's going to heaven? And what about them churches that just embrace every sinful activity as if it's okay? Or them churches that build $20 million sanctuaries and give a pittance to those in need?
Oh, Pa, just stop for a minute. Listen to what I got to say. It's true that there's a lot of denominations in the world that are Christian, and it's true there are visible differences among them. But, Pa, what's important to God and what has always been important to him is what they all believe, what is common to all of them. If any church, any denomination is Christian, then they hold to what Jesus commanded his church to believe and to share with the world. The full and unadulterated gospel message unites all Christians who adhere to the commandment to share it with the world.
Well, I can't argue with you on that score, Ma. But don't it seem necessary that every denomination and the folks within them clean up their own house and get their doctrines and practices in line with the Lord? Don't that make sense to you?
Well, what makes sense to me is that the unity that God desires for his church. We both know that his desire is going to reach fruition in these coming days. There'll be a completely done work of the Holy Spirit, and it'll be accomplished by his grace given to each Christian, along with the expectation of obedience.
Okay, but...
And that's not your job or mine, Pa. Our job is to pray, hear the Lord, and do what he says. Obedience and not judgment is our job.
Well, I gotta say, you really sunk an arrow of truth into my heart, Ma. And you helped me make me see how I've been depending more on prejudice than truth. It is God's work to fix his church, not mine. Boy, and I got to tell you, it lifts a huge burden from my shoulders.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Now I see Cecilia's just pulling up, so I got to go. You still want me to check out that new church at the mall?
Well, not necessarily, but could you drive by behind the mall and look at their back door? Well, see if you can find any snake skins laying around.
Well, we all need God's help to refine our understanding and appreciation for the work he is doing in our world at any given time, and especially today, when the coming revival will require the body of Christ to be on point with that gospel message and with those essentials of discipleship that are not encumbered by doctrinal esoterica. It's good that Ma has given Paul a means of dropping the weight of his prejudicial burdens so that he can be free to serve God and love the lost. Well, we hope that you're becoming free as well, because who the Son sets free is free indeed. We are going to reach out to Tim Popatic. We're looking to get an update on what's going on with Healing Encounters. And while I look to get Tim on the phone, Karen, why don't you just remind our listeners, prayer and share is coming up. And then in just a couple moments, we're going to be back with Stuart Fakita.
That's right. Prayer and share is coming up. And I'm sure you've been hearing the spots running around the clock. You'll be hearing them every hour now. Until we begin on Monday morning, October 3rd at 7 a.m. for our fall fundraiser, where we raise the funds to keep this radio station on the air. And as many of you know, that we are a listener-supported station, and we rely upon the donations and gifts of the listeners to keep this station moving. And we thank you for your present and past participation.
Amen. We do indeed. Let's see if we can get a hold of Mr. Tim.
I'm here.
God bless you, Tim. We have a big event, a healing encounter coming up down south. Give us the details.
Hey, great. Excited to be here talking with you, Jonathan, today on WCNO. We've got next healing encounter is October 22nd and October 23rd. It's a Saturday and Sunday night, from 5 to 8 p.m. down at the Meyer Amphitheater in West Palm Beach. It's right along the water. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a fantastic evening of worship and prayer and really encountering Jesus. And so we ask you guys to come out. It's a free event. We do have a way to get more details if you register online. Registration is not required. It's more like an RSVP. You could go to healingencounternights.com, healingencounternights.com. And yes, we have Phil Driscoll, Grammy Award-winning trumpet/singer. Have you ever seen him, Jonathan, live?
I sure have, and I'll tell you what, he'll take you, God uses his gift to take you right into the heavens.
Man, he just blasts you away. we're just prepared emotionally and spiritually for an awakening that night.
Amen.
And we believe that God, you know, it's super interesting when you read, actually throughout Scripture, but I was reading not too long ago in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 4, and it talked about how when I'm ready, the trumpeter will begin to play. And that's how we're going to know that we're in sync. He's like, you're going to hear that trumpet.
There you go. There you go.
And it's kind of like this unique moment in time for Palm Beach. You know, it's sort of an interesting place to live and to play and to do ministry. And it's really the crossroads to the globe right now, as far as the financial crossroads. And so, you know, as Doc Crandall and myself and our team has been really praying into October 22nd, 23rd, we've been saying, God, who do you want to bring to be part of this in this moment? And, you know, we had this, we had a dinner with Phil Driscoll, just the three of us and our wives, and we were kind of hanging out, talking, and something happened at that dinner, and Doc said, we have to have Phil. on that night. And so Phil is joining us. It's going to be amazing. Some of you probably haven't heard from him in a while, but he's been working on a project on the Sounds of Heaven. And that night, on October 22nd, 23rd, you're going to hear some amazing things come out of that trumpet.
So, amen. One more time, give us the dates and how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, October 22nd, 23rd, healingencounternights.com. You can go there, get all the information. It'll be 5 to 8 p.m. downtown West Palm Beach at the Meyer Amphitheater. It's going to be great. All are welcome. If you are sick or know someone who's sick, you make plans on getting them there, however you get them there, and it's going to be a powerful night of healing. So thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, WCNM.
We love you. We love you. I was blessed when Dr. Crandall was on, I think it was maybe last Wednesday or something, he was saying, you know, come in your wheelchairs, you know, come in your stretcher, come in the ambulance, you know.
Bring the ambulance.
That's right. Bring them down. And let me tell you, it is a powerful, powerful night where there is opportunity for everyone that desires prayer and is believing God for personal ministry and a touch to receive that. Thank you so much, Tim, for what you do, and please be available. We're going to keep the good word going out as we get closer to the event. God bless you. Stay safe.
All right. You too. Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. All right. I'm going to see. We're going to stick by our guaranteed 5 minutes at the end of this program to come back to Stuart Fakita, and we're going to have him back with us. We got to the point where the most powerful, life-changing moment in his life took place there in the prison, and what a story so far. I've gone from feeling like I should be weeping to where I feel like, you know, I want to shout in the rooftop. Let me see if I can get John Nelson. One more time, Karen, give the contact information of the station, how people can get involved, and we have a lot of letters out, and we're looking for responses to our prayer and share upcoming.
Yes, you can reach us at 888-221-8990. You could go to our website, wcno.com, and we'd love to hear from you. We have sent those letters out with the response cards, and we just look forward.
All right. John, do we have you? Can you hear me?
You have me. I haven't blown away yet.
Hallelujah. John, listen, we just have a couple minutes, but I want for you to tell us what's happening. You're one of those guys that ministers to families and recovery, familiesrecover.com. We thank God for you and your ministry. .org. Tell us what's happening.
We're just loving life right now. I was out in California making some new friends. We're going to do a surf event out there.
Surf event.
We've got a great relationship in Rincon Beach, which I never knew was world famous for surfing, but yeah.
What's it about?
That and they've come to us to try to help start placing patients. It's a super small six-bed detox inpatient program where you're going to get super hands-on. And we're just excited about it. It's called The Healing Tree. It's in Rincon Beach, California. Right now, we're getting some calls from people here kind of freaking out. We got new friends that are living over in Naples, and they've only been here 3 months. So they're like, hey, John, we move here, and all of a sudden we're in a Cat 4 hurricane.
Yeah, how does this affect addicted people? John, how do addicted people?
Well, you know, what's going to happen is you got a lot of homeless people in this state, and our prayers are going out for them tonight. I mean, Tampa especially is a hub for the addicted community and kids. There's a lot of families that are homeless, not only here but in Tampa. So, you know, we want to pray for those people, and hopefully the shelters can hold them. It's not going to be a pretty sight over there, I can tell you that right now.
No, it's not. John, we are kind of running out of time, but just in a minute, tell us who you are, what you do, and how people can get a hold of you again, because I know you have some more events coming up. We're going to schedule some more time when we get you back with us.
Love it. John Nelson, we're familiesrecover.org. We're a 10-year-old 501c3. We're based out of Port St. Lucie. We started as Families Against Drunk Driving, and then we added the Families Recover because of opiates and overdose. You can get a hold of me at my cell number, 772-285-5828, or john@familiesrecover.org, and we are adding an 800 number. That way, if people need to get a hold of us toll free. And it says, you know, we're an outreach for human trafficking, drug and alcohol awareness and education, and we just love helping people.
Amen. 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 John, we love you. Stay safe. And let us know how we can be a bigger blessing to you, okay?
Well, we're going to come in for share and prayer, and we're going to have a good time with that.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Hey, John, we love you. Keep the good work up. We know that Jesus is the answer, and so glad that that he reached out to you. Have a blessed day and stay safe, and we'll be in touch.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye. Goodbye. Stuart Fakita in the studio with us today, talking about his journey, literally from a hell on earth. My goodness, you were talking about the girl you were with and finding her dead, having taken her life. I guess just trying to get away from the pain.
Yes, actually, you know, I skipped one part there. She had left me a note on the table. And there's a reason why I want to go here, because maybe someday I can come back, John, and give you really the whole second half. She had left me a note that told me, "I'll see you in hell," and that I hope hope you can share the same sentiments with my mother, because her and her mother had gotten into a argument the day before, and the last thing her mother told her was to go to hell.
Wow.
And I pray for her mother every day, because that's something she's had to live with. I've never seen her again since the day. But
this note said, "I will see you in hell."
That's exactly what it said. Exactly. Wow. And I will take that one step further, because she had my cell phone. If you remember what I'd said, she actually made a voice recording
of that.
Of that.
Wow.
And that was tough. That was tough.
Okay, so you are in a chapel, in a prison.
Yes.
You've melted down.
Yes.
Your jumpsuit is soaked.
Yes.
And you have a God encounter.
Yes.
That changes your world, your destiny. How? From there, obviously you're not in prison.
No, I'm not in prison. there's a whole hour-long testimony about how I got through that, but I'll give you the short version. I began to pray, obviously, now that I come to know my Lord and Savior, and I actually had a hunger that I gave up stealing guys' soups when they went down we'll call it the 111, and gave up fighting, stopped playing cards, started praying, started reading the Bible, and soaked myself. Well, the short version of all this is that, number one, if you're ever in jail, don't take any advice from anybody wearing the same color uniform you are, because there's a lot of jailhouse lawyers out there. Okay,
yeah, right.
Guys were telling me, "Oh man, you're in big trouble. You got to do this, got to do that." So I wind up getting myself a public defender. I don't want to be negative, but sometimes they used to refer to them as a public pretender, because they're so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
they really are. They're really overwhelmed, and I think Diamond Liddy does a great job. She is awesome, but you know, that's a story for another day. She is awesome. But anyways, they appoint me a public defender. Public defender comes to me, brings me in. I go in and I actually give the judge my testimony, thus up to where we're at right now, with a lot more in-depth detail. It was 45 minutes. He says, "Well, we're going to do this. We're going to do a pre-sentence investigation if you're willing." I had no idea. He said PSI, actually. I had no idea what that was. And Judge Gary Sweet says, "Hey, buddy, if I find one hole in the story, it's not going to be a good day." I felt good, because I was in love with Jesus. I was coming in with 100% truth.
Yep.
I didn't have a problem with that. Fast forward, October the 5th, 2005. I go back for my sentence date. My public defender comes to me and says, "Great news. We got you deal for 7 years. I said, "No, buddy. My pastor friends, Alan Bob, says, don't trust any man, only trust God.
Wow.
Put your faith in God, not man."
Yeah.
And I found that in the Bible a whole bunch later. Yeah. I know in Isaiah and so on. But anyways, at the end of the day, they come back to me with a 7-year deal, a 3-year deal, a 2-year deal. Now, I almost got a year in, which meant that I wouldn't have really spent. And if I take this deal, if I don't take the deal, the judge can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm pleading to the judge. I gave my heart and soul to Jesus. It was the scariest faithful move I probably made in my life, to be honest with you. But I did it anyways. Scared to death, walked out there. The district attorney's telling the judge what a jerk I am, and I'm a one-man crime wave, and I'm no good, blah, blah, blah. Mm. At the end of the day, my public defender asked